Let me see you get low. Going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy hump day, everybody, and welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, and we've got a big show lined up for you as we do always on Wednesdays. We'll have a little hump day matchup report for you as we kind of look at where the Cardinals and the Browns sit in advance of their showdown. The 5-2 Cardinals, of course, against the 2-5 Cleveland Browns. Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Cardinals, 26-13 in the regular season as their head coach. We will hear from our head coach, Mike Penn, his press conference around 1:15 today. He will go ahead and highlight the latest on the injury situation at quarterback and also other positions. And we can tell you the pre-practice injury report is out, and it is a long and distinguished list once again for the Cleveland Browns. Sashawn Gibson, ankle. Joe Hayden, concussion. Finger. Andrew Hawkins, concussion. Rob Housler, hamstring. John Hughes, knee. Johnny Manziel, right elbow. Josh McCown, right shoulder and ribs. Marlon Moore, hamstring. Jordan Poyer, shoulder. We know he is out for an indefinite period of time. Craig Robertson, ankle. Kaywan Williams, hamstring. And then, of course, Randy Starks and Joe Thomas getting their Wednesday off, as they do every single week. It is Mailbag Wednesday. You can tweet us at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35. You won't look at it. At Browns underscore daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD. We'll get to those at 1:45, 2:45. We also have Around the League at 2:30. But Matt, I want to start off with you here as you look at this game between the Browns and the Cardinals. This is one on paper where this Cardinals team looks very, very impressive.
It does. And normally I'm not the stats guy, but the first thing that I do when I walk in here, and we discussed it briefly as we prep for this show, you dig into the stats, and the first thing that jumped out to me is, A, the Cardinals are scoring 32.7 points a game. That's second in the National Football League. You know, the Browns only at 21, tied for 23rd. But then you go down the list, and they have ranks. Second, eighth, first, seventh, first, tied for fourth, 11th, first, fifth, 22nd, 15th, 4th, 4th. And then you look at the Browns, 23rd, 23rd, 22nd, 23rd, 28th, 13th, 8th. You know, and it's just like, as you said, comparatively on paper as we sit right now, this is a superior football team. The record shows it. And what's surprising, though, and where optimism lies for me, if I, here in the building and understanding the Brown situation, our backs are up against the wall. Something does have to change. And I think as you read off the injury list, there's optimism on that injury list. Some of those guys, Robertson, Tashawn Gibson, were very close last week, but weren't obviously ready to play on Sunday and help in St. Louis. Should be ready this week. Possibly get Joe Hayden back. I think Josh McCown and his shoulder injury, you're going to take it day by day. Johnny Manziel, not really an issue. But you hope some of those hamstrings, Kaywan Williams, and having him back and what that means for us in our ability to stop somebody offensively. But Jordan Poyer and Tashawn Gibson, as I mentioned, that's going to come at a good time. But I'm optimistic because they have played very good, but they've also played very bad and lost to what we would think, again, is games that they should have won. This might be an undefeated football team.
Yeah, they lost to the Steelers in a game that surprised a lot of people. You look at this matchup, you talked about the Cards, second in the NFL in scoring, 32.7, first in the NFL with 16 passing touchdowns this season, first in the NFL with 28 touchdowns scored on the year, their fourth in rushing touchdowns, their first in return touchdowns, and we know that the Browns have given up a pick six and a fumble return for a touchdown in each of the last two games. This is a team that has been very, very good on both sides of the ball. That's when you're number two in scoring and then number eight in defensive scoring. You look at your total yards, you're the number four offense in terms of total yards. You're number four in terms of allowing yards. This is a complete team. They do it, and they don't stand out anywhere. Rush yards per game, they're 10th. Pass yards per game, they're 6th. Opponents rushing yards per game, they're 7th. Opponents passing yards per game, they are 7th. They're plus 5 in the turnover differential. And with it sounding like it could be rainy and stormy, we got a taste of that this morning, certainly here in Cleveland. You know, it could be a sloppy game. And the way Chris Johnson's running and the way that our run defense is performing, you want a clean game. You want to be in a dome. You want to be able to throw the ball around.
You definitely do. And I think, as I said, going into this football game, statistically, they're better on paper. The record is better. But the balance that they have is probably unlike only a handful of football teams. You look at Green Bay's probably a top seven offense, but probably a bottom quartile defense. You know, look at the Patriots. They're probably a top five offense. They're probably like a mid-quartile defense. So this is probably the most well-balanced football team we will play that and have players. I mean, Calais Campbell, did you watch him on Monday night?
Beast.
He is a beast.
Yeah, and the Honey Badger is
our ability sick. To our ability to game plan and do what we do best, but also combat what they do best and limit their playmakers because they've drafted well. They've signed, you know, strategically through via free agency, and they're getting the most out of all those guys right now.
They certainly are. The Browns do have plenty of former Cardinals on their roster. Carlos Dansby, Josh McCown, Rob Housler, just recently there under the Bruce Arians regime, Jim Dre as well. So there are some connections, but this is a game where the Browns are going to have to come out. They're going to have to take care of the ball against a ball-hawking defense. We saw the Cardinals end their last game with an interception of Joe Flacco in the end zone. The Honey Badger is playing incredibly well. They protect Carson Palmer very well. He's only been sacked 10 times on the season. The Browns, on the other hand, have been sacked 26 times this season. So this is a tough one. This is not one on paper where you say this looks like a great matchup for this team. But again, it's a West Coast team going east.
Yep.
They're coming off of
the
a
Monday
short
nighter,
week off
yes.
of the Monday night game. And you hope to be able to take advantage of that. And you know this better than anybody. In your experience when you were on the Chargers, when you played a Monday night game and then had to go east that following Sunday, how big of a deal is it to you as a player?
It is a big deal. But anytime you play not on a Sunday, which might happen two or three times for a good football team, it's always different. You know, your week is different. As I continually mention, you know, as a former professional athlete, you're a creature of habit. You like things to be the same. And when they're not, you're constantly, you know, checking your schedule and, you know, the handout that your head coach gives you, you know, early in the week to make sure that you're on time, you're not missing any meetings, and you're up and at them each and every day to get there at the certain times. And certain coaches try to change things around to make them feel a little bit different and have them prepped and ready. But this is a unique situation. A, like you said, they're coming off the Monday nighter on the short week. They're coming cross country to the Eastern time zone, and then they have a bye next week. So you might hope at 5-2 that they're getting real comfortable, getting a little cocky, maybe didn't put in the effort when you look at the Browns and you know, on the surface level and who they really are. Then you dive into film and you're going to go, that roll your helmet out there mentality that they come not ready. And for the first time, actually the second time, the Cleveland Browns start fast and get ahead on this football team. And we build our confidence not only through the week, but throughout the football game that we can win this because this is a huge win that propels us in the right direction and we have a short week coming up ahead of us as well.
I know, and I think what's tough about it, you wish that the Seattle game, which is their next game after Cleveland, was immediately
yes.
after the Browns.
Look
because,
by us.
You know, Bruce Arians is going to be all over this team. Look, the last time we went on the road, we went to Pittsburgh and we lost a game that we shouldn't have lost. We barely beat this Ravens team. You get the bye coming out after this. So let's go ahead and leave it all on the field. And is that something that's talked about? Look, the bye week's coming up. You guys are going to get 2 weeks to heal. Win this one. Maybe I'll give you the whole week bye week off, and we can all go on our merry way.
It is. It is. Every coach, even for winning and losing organizations, always want to dangle a carrot in front of competitors because competitors want to achieve. They don't want to feel as if they're a failure. So they'll go all in to win this football game, knowing that they have that carrot, that 4-day, 5-day break, and allow them to get out of the state of Arizona and do what some go on vacation, some go home, some whatever.
They just can stay in Arizona. Take me on vacation.
Sure.
I'd love a staycation right
now. Absolutely,
there
of course. But I meant when you live there every day, you want to change the scenery. And they will get that if they beat, you know, the opponent that they have that given week. And then knowing also that they'll have to come back mentally ready, so don't enjoy it too hard or too much because you do have the Seattle Seahawks coming right off of a bye. And for them, it's a division opponent, someone that's kind of had their way with that entire division for the last 3 years.
Absolutely, and you almost wish that, you know, they had come in here on a 4-game winning streak or were high on their horse and could overlook the Browns, but that's not going to happen. They barely squeaked by the Ravens. They lost to Pittsburgh, and they are certainly looking to come into Cleveland and make a statement. This is a team that's had a couple of huge wins on the road this year. At Chicago, 48-23. At Detroit, 42-17. So this is not a team that's afraid to go, you know, to the Midwest and put a whooping on somebody, and the Browns certainly have to protect against that in this game. This is the third straight game, by the way, against the AFC North for the Arizona Cardinals. They got a feel for the division.
Let's keep them below 500.
And let's keep them. Yes, they're right at 500 right now in the division. Let's get them below that in this one. All right. Speaking of other Cleveland sports, it was, you know, we got the Browns coming up, obviously, with the Cardinals. But the Cavaliers season kicked off last night, Mr. Wilhelm. 95-97. They fell short on the last second against the Bulls. And other than the fact that LeBron James looked like he was Velcroed to the floor trying to score on that last one against Paul Gasol, once he made the turn, I was like, oh, he's for sure scoring or getting fouled. And then he forgot to elevate. The fact that the Bulls were bringing basically their squad at you, and you were able to come out without, you know, Kyrie.
Shump.
Without Shump, and it was a very competitive
game. K-Love was
game.
Cold for a while. JR was nice. Cold for a while.
It just, I mean, this team's so much deeper. Mo Williams over Dellavedova is a massive upgrade. And I'll tell you what, Richard Jefferson over
Pleasant
Sean
surprise.
Marion. Yeah, Richard Jefferson's going to be a solid player on
still,
this team.
I'm still in watching. I didn't watch the entire game, but in watching what I did, a majority of the second half, Tristan Thompson is not a max player.
He's come on, man. Anybody who can't score the basketball is not a max player. He's great. It's great that he can rebound.
And he can guard on the perimeter. Versus two or three, if needed, like we did in the finals.
If the kid was here, he'd say Mazel Tov. So can Anderson Varejao, by the way, who's on your team already.
Right.
But he will likely get hurt because that's what he does. But, I mean, Tristan Thompson, it just shows. You watch it and you're like, great, he's a great rebounder. But he's not like Dennis Rodman. He's not a Dennis Rodman defender. He's a role player. It's a guy who came out in a game where you were not at full strength, played 25 minutes. He had 12 boards. That's wonderful.
And
2 points.
And minus LeBron, he's ordinary. When LeBron was not here, when he was drafted here, third overall for those couple years, he was ordinary.
Yeah.
You know, he probably got more touches. And his stats were inflated, but it wasn't like he was a difference maker. You couldn't put the team on his back at any point like a max player should be able to carry and score for you and impact a basketball game. He'll get a big offensive rebound in the fourth quarter, and he'll get that, you know, the tip dunk at the right time, but then you put him to the free throw line and the guy's shooting 55%.
When you look at, you know, like a Chris Bosh. Okay, he was a max player because when he was on a bad team, now did he have a lot of success in the playoffs? No, but when he was on a bad team, he could get you 20.
They went
and
every
10
year
and
because
they go
of
to the
him.
Playoffs, and he was a superstar. You put Tristan Thompson on a bad team, he's not a superstar.
No,
he probably disappears. Remember, how
he becomes a 76er on another team.
Remember how good J.J. Hickson looked for a little while here? I mean, he's better than J.J. Hickson, but it is amazing what he is going to go ahead and get
he's
paid.
Counting his cheese,
but
it's
listen,
all good. Whatever.
Who cares?
I'm not a hater. I'm an appreciator.
Yeah, as long as he's part of a championship. Fine.
Sure.
Fine. That's not my
cool. It's not my money. Yeah, exactly.
All right. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about before we get to head coach Mike Pettine's press conference here on this Wednesday is, did you see the post that was recently, it was posted and then deleted by Sammy Watkins? Did you hear about this?
I did not. No.
Here's what Sammy Watkins had to say, which says to me that, this guy's career has not gone like it was supposed to go.
A lot of injuries,
lack of production. He's complaining about getting the ball. Can't stay on the field. Was supposed to be, you know, the best wide receiver prospect since Julio Jones. To all the people that have a problem with me being injured, you guys go out there and play this sport. It's a 100% injury rate. I'm not first or last person that's going to be injured. Difference for me and you guys, y'all mad, and I'm not. Get a life and go to work. Stop worrying about my job because I'm good on this end and forever will be. Losers, most of you just wish to be in this position, so continue working y'all little jobs for the rest of y'all lives. Since everyone wants to have a response here, go on, have a blessed day.
I don't like that.
To me, that says that he's cracking a little bit, and his confidence in himself is wavering.
I agree with that, and I believe, and I talked to you about this, when you read the comments on Twitter, it's just five of them doesn't hurt. 50 of them starts to, you know, ruffle your feathers a little bit, but 500, and I'm sure for a guy like Sammy Watkins who might have a 500,000 Twitter followers.
My fantasy team, you stink.
Right. It's just small little needle pricks, you know, that over time it's like punching somebody in the same spot in their arm. The first 50 punches don't hurt, but when you get to the 500th and that big bruise is welted up, it starts to hurt.
Painful,
well, yeah, you know what I'm saying. But yeah, I just don't like that because now it's me versus the team. It's me versus my teammates, me versus the organization, me versus my fans. And y'all keep y'all little jobs and
not
going to sell a lot of jerseys.
Not a good look for Samuel Watkins. I think he realized that he deleted it. But in this day and age.
Or the Bills have a great PR staff.
All it takes is one little screenshot and it is out there in perpetuity. And that's what happened to Sammy Watkins. Big one for the Browns and the Cardinals, obviously, this Sunday. This is a very good football team, and I would argue this is the most complete football team that the Browns have seen in 2015. We'll hear Mike Pettine talk about the injury updates, the quarterback situation, and how he is preparing to take on the Arizona Cardinals when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.